If mornings feel harder than they should, your sleep might be the reason. The original bamboo sheets by Caraloha create 5-star comfort that helps you fall asleep faster and sleep deeper thanks to the natural, cooling, soft benefits of Caraloha bamboo fabrics. No tossing, no overheating, just the kind of sleep that helps you wake up clearer, calmer, and ready to go. It's resort-level relaxation that turns every night into a reset for your body and mind. Start tomorrow feeling better than today. Shop Caraloha bamboo sheets now at caraloha.com. That's CARILOHA.com. And wake up to better mornings every morning.
This happened fairly recently. I was trying to get a train to the city for a night of drinking with some friends. Unfortunately, the trains weren't running to the city center that day for some reason, so they had a replacement bus service instead. And so off I toddled looking for where they'd hidden the replacement buses in the train station. After a while, it seemed like I was on the right track. And just as I'd found a very promising corridor, I heard running footsteps coming from behind me. I glance around to find an Arabic man sprinting to a stop beside me. I know he was Arabic because he tried to offer to teach me Arabic while I was trapped with him later on. He asked me if I knew where the replacement bus service was. I replied that I was probably just as lost as he was and that I was just trying to find it myself. I thought that that would be the end of our interaction, but he continued walking beside me. Fair enough, I thought. We're both looking for the same thing, so maybe he thinks we stand a better chance of finding it together. I wish I'd turned around and darted into the bathroom or something. And it turned out that the corridor did lead to the replacement bus, and the driver was standing outside the doors. He assured us that we had plenty of time and were the first ones here. He opened the doors to let us in, and the bus was completely empty. I decided to take a random seat in the middle and huddled up next to the window, ready to put my headphones on. But where does this guy choose to sit in the completely empty bus? Right next to me, trapping me in the row of seats. I thought it was a little weird at the time, but figured no harm would come of it. He asked me why I'm headed to the city center. I tell him I'm meeting friends there for a girls' night out, and then very pointedly put my headphones on and start finding a good song to listen to. He insists that he could join us, and I tell him it's girls only and I don't really know him. He answered that we could get to know each other and he'll buy me a drink. I tell him no thanks, I just want to see my friends today. The bus has gotten moving at this point and there are a few others on board, and from there he proceeds to badger me with questions, all of which I ignore or give one-word answers to. After a bunch of them, my replies become variations of, I just want to listen to my music now, and I'm not interested in talking, sorry. He starts complimenting my body, telling me he thinks I'm beautiful and repeating over and over, I really like you. My only responses now are, leave me alone, every so often, and I'm visibly shrinking away from him as he's leaning closer. The bus driver doesn't seem to know where he's going for his next stop, and the city center is ages away. I'm trapped in the seat and starting to really panic. He starts stepping up to I love yous and leans right up to me, making kissy sounds with his lips. And that was the moment my hero intervened. It was a man around my age sitting a few seats back. And I'll quote what I can remember of the conversation.
Excuse me, mate. She asked you multiple times to leave her alone.
And through very gritted teeth, that creep tells him to F off.
But you need to move away from her. You're clearly bothering her. Do you mind your business? We're fine.
And then to me,
do you want him to move?
And me, practically pinned against the window, getting scared.
Yeah.
And the creep gets up and storms up to the man.
Do you want to fight? Do you want to go right now?
Nah, I'd rather you control yourself and leave her alone.
The creep is visibly ready to start throwing punches when the driver calls back if there's a problem and if he needs to kick anyone off the bus. The creep quietly says no and moves a few seats behind my hero, much to my relief. And I mouth several thank yous to my hero, who just smiles like it was no big deal. The creep tries following me off the bus, but my friends meet with me, and so he walks off. But I'm just so glad that my hero intervened when he did.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so. This happened 5 years ago, and I can still remember it vividly. I was excitedly preparing for the New Year's party, and I decided to buy some decorations online. As I was scrolling through the website, I suddenly felt a weird sensation, almost as if I was being watched. It was a strange feeling because I was inside the safety of my home, and I lived alone. I tried to shake it off as my imagination and continued browsing, but the feeling persisted. Hours passed, and I could still feel as if I was being watched. It was now becoming too much for me to ignore, and I got up from the couch and started looking around the house. I checked all the rooms, closets, and even the attic, but there was no one there. I tried to convince myself that it was just my imagination playing tricks on me, but the feeling persisted. While browsing through the shopping website, I could still feel an uneasy and ominous feeling in the pit of my stomach. I tried calling my friend Natalie for some comfort, but she didn't answer. The clock was ticking, and the sun had already set. I was starting to feel increasingly unsafe in my own house. I needed to find a trustworthy person to spend the night with, but my contact list was of no use. In a state of desperation, I finally called my sister Emily, hoping she would come to my rescue. The clock was ticking as I waited for my sisters to arrive, and as the night progressed, I started feeling increasingly unsafe in my own home. Every creak and sound made me jump out of my skin. As I waited for my sister to arrive, the feeling of being watched lingered. I brushed it off as mere paranoia and continued to sit in the living room, trying to distract myself by watching TV. But the feeling persisted, like an invisible presence lurking in the shadows, waiting to strike. Suddenly, the familiar sound of my phone's notification bell chimed, breaking the silence and drawing my attention to the screen. It was a message from my sister Emily, announcing her arrival with a short and sweet message, "I'm here." With that, the doorbell rang, and I quickly rushed to open the door, feeling relieved that someone was finally here to share that eerie feeling with me. As Emily entered the room, I couldn't help but notice the stern expression on her face. Her first sentence caught me off guard. "Just remember this, I'm not here because I was worried about you or was bored at my place. I'm here to do you a favor." Despite her initial statement, I was grateful that she had come to visit me and offered her help. After catching up with my sister, we decided to do something to pass the time together. We eventually opted to unwind by watching a movie for the evening. However, as the movie progressed, an insidious feeling crept over me, as if something was not quite right in my home. Without warning, Emily suddenly broke the silence by saying, "Is there someone else here?" I felt a chill run down my spine upon hearing her say that, because I was feeling the presence in my home, and she must have felt it too. I shook my head to indicate a negative answer, and as she stared at my expression, her intuitive mind immediately grasped the reason for my call. It was then that I noticed a slight movement out the corner of my eye. I hesitantly turned my head in that direction, but to my surprise, there was nothing there. It was at that moment when Emily tapped on my shoulder before pointing toward the long curtain that was all the way at the end of the hall beside the windows. We both noticed that the curtain was moving, but there wasn't any wind blowing through the windows. My heart started to race as Emily quickly grabbed a vase, and I too looked around for anything I could use as a weapon before we cautiously made our way towards the moving curtain. My heart raced as we silently pulled the curtain together, hoping to find the place empty. However, as soon as the curtains parted, my eyes widened in horror. There, lurking in the shadows, was my ex-boyfriend. I couldn't tell how long he had been there, but the thought of him watching me made my skin crawl, My mind raced with questions. What did he want? Why was he there? I felt a mix of fear and anger, unsure of how to react. My sister and I tried to remain calm, but as the reality of the situation set in, fear took hold. He was about to hit us and run, but before he could do that, Emily took action and hit him on the head with the vase she was holding. As he passed out, we called 911 and waited anxiously for the police to arrive. When they did, they escorted my ex-boyfriend out for questioning, but the damage had already been done. The night of the incident left my sister and me deeply unsettled and apprehensive. We clung to each other, too terrified to even think of falling asleep. My home, once a comforting sanctuary, now felt like a menacing presence, and we couldn't shake off the sense of danger that seemed to lurk in every corner. Every creak and rustle amplified our fear, and we couldn't shake off the feeling that someone was still hiding in the shadows, watching us with malicious intent. The following day, I hastily packed my belongings and fled to Emily's house. The New Year party that I had been planning was scheduled to take place there that year, and while nothing untoward occurred after the incident, I couldn't help but feel anxious and on edge. I never would have guessed that my ex-boyfriend would turn out to be a stalker. It was a sobering reminder that people's true colors can be difficult to discern, and I was grateful that I'd broken up with him when I did.
I have been helping deliver newspapers since my dad started as a carrier when I was 6. Eventually, my dad was given his own distribution center, so when I turned 16 and got my license, I started doing them on my own. Most of the people in the depot have been there for years. They've watched me grow up, and I consider many of them an extended part of my family. We spent every holiday together. The newspaper never had a day off. Countless birthdays. But there was one guy who always gave me the major creeps. I was about 14 when he started, I think. I used to hang out in the back office with some of my other friends as the years went on, and he always hung out back there because he was also friends with these people. At least that's what I thought. One of them recently told me they only tolerated him. I never spoke to him because something just felt really off about the guy, but nothing happened until last year. I moved home following my graduation from college. I was already having a hard time readjusting because I no longer had any friends in the area and I was missing my college town. Creepy guy that I'll just call B started hanging around me a lot. He had a weird man crush on my dad too, always buying him extra gifts for birthdays and holidays, sucking up majorly. I did my usual nice greeting, keep to myself stuff. But then he started buying me gifts for no reason. My mom told me to just keep them because it was all stuff I liked, Marvel and cat-themed things. That was probably my first mistake. He started acting like we were BFFs and coming out to find me while I was sitting in my car and talking about how I deserve so much more than being trapped here at the depot and that he will do whatever it takes to get me out of here because he really cared about me and I deserve so much more. I never really acknowledged it because I thought it was really weird, and I thought if I just kind of nodded quickly, he'd go away. This went on for weeks. Then he started texting me, telling me to sleep well after work and just being generally really creepy. I should probably mention I was 22 at the time, and this guy is well into his 40s. I started avoiding him, and he kept leaving things on my bench. I came in one day, and there were cat posters taped along the back of my bench. I kept taking them down, but they'd be back up the next day. When I started avoiding him, he made a Facebook group chat with me and my dad complaining about every little thing and just being a major jerk. He made a really rude remark about my friend who was visiting from Germany, so I blocked him on Facebook because I wasn't going to deal with it anymore. B made a new Facebook and remade the group chat just to keep doing it. I went away for a while on a vacation to visit my childhood friend in Washington, and when I got back, he was calling me by my full name, which I absolutely hate. I was tired and jet-lagged, so I went off on him, and he whipped around and blew up 3 times worse, telling me I was all these terrible names, and I thought I was so perfect because I was the boss's daughter, and there was no one there as perfect as him. My jet-lagged brain broke down after he walked away. I'm glad I held on till he left, but I stormed out to my car and told all my guy friends to keep him as far away from me as possible because I was so fed up. He started texting my brothers, asking if they were on his side and if they had his back over mine. My roommate, who was a guy, started getting threatening texts from him about wanting to fight over me. Everything was spiraling out of control. My dad made us sit down at the local Denny's one morning to work everything out because he was so sick of B blowing up his phone. When my dad was there, things were fine. B said he wasn't mad at me, but I was just the catalyst the day of the fight and whatever. My dad left to pay the bill, and suddenly B's attitude changed. I was in the wrong, and treated him terribly, and all he ever did was love me, and I treated him so poorly. He kept trying to hold my hands over the table, telling me he loved me over and over. I put on a polite show because I just wanted this to end, and thought if I was nice about it, things would be different. Apparently my answer to everything is be nice and it'll go away. He walked me to my car after the conversation at Denny's and asked if I noticed anything different. I told him no, and he got agitated. Apparently he spent a lot of money on Captain America clothing, everything from a hat to shoes. I told him I didn't notice clothing like ever, and B got increasingly angry, telling me he did it to feel better about himself and impress me. Cap is my favorite superhero. I didn't even know he knew that. He had left the depot for a while, and when he asked to come back, I told my dad's manager I knew we were desperate, and I would be okay if I didn't have to talk to him. I wore headphones every day, my music full blast so I couldn't hear anything over them. He kept coming to my bench and would stand there waiting for me to acknowledge him, and he'd storm off angry when I didn't. He would glare at me if I ever talked to any other carrier, even though I'd been friends with many of them for years. My tipping point was something I found out after the fact. My guy roommate had gone to the grocery store late one Sunday. When he was walking to his car, he noticed some guy watching him. The guy watched him as he loaded the car and smoked a cigarette, and that's when my roommate realized it was B. My roommate got in his car and started driving home, and he noticed B was following him. He tried taking several wrong turns, and every time B followed. My roommate called his friend and said he was coming over, and when he said so, to open the garage to make it look like he lived there. When my roommate met his friend in the house, he told him everything, and they watched him drive by the house 8 times before leaving. No one called the police. I feel like that was the only thing that justified calling the police, because the harassment and stuff couldn't justify police action. I knew that from years of watching crime shows, and I was angry when I found out that no one called. I told my dad I wanted him gone. I couldn't take it anymore. Texts are easy to avoid, but now he was stalking us to try and figure out where I lived, since I wasn't living at home but renting a house with my brother and our friend. I spent months watching over my shoulder whenever I went to the store, worried he'd follow me home. After, he started going to my parents' house a lot because he knew where they lived, like he was waiting for me to be there one day. No one was taking this seriously. The gifts continued, and my mom kept telling me it was free stuff and to just keep it. But the gifts always came after something bad, and it was feeling oddly like an abusive relationship. Oh no, you're angry? Here's a gift to make you forget and like me again. My mom felt that way till her birthday, and a giant bouquet of roses and a teddy bear appeared at her job from B. We didn't even know he knew where she worked. After that, he started cornering me in the parking lot. I told him he'd been told to stay away from me, and I'd appreciate it if he listened. "Look," he said, "I'm sorry I took you for granted. I never should have done that. Are we okay now?" I was floored. I told him if he thought that's why I was avoiding him, he was more insane than I thought. After that, he was done at the depot and I didn't see him for a while. A couple times I definitely saw him driving around on my route, but I couldn't prove it to a cop if I called it in. The last time I saw him, I was at my second job. I worked in a music store at a local mall. I was messing around with my coworkers when I turned around and saw him watching me from our hip-hop section. My stomach dropped. I almost collapsed and I started panicking. I ran him back and told my coworkers. They agreed if he asked, they didn't know who I was and I could stay in the back till he left. I was a manager, but I didn't think I could actually kick him out because he was just watching me. My coworkers said he was there for almost 2 hours just wandering around. Never bought anything. It was like he was trying to wait me out, figuring I had to go back out front eventually. He texts my dad now and then, trying to get his job back and fix things. My mom told him if he ever came near us again, she'd call the cops. When my dad wouldn't take him back, he started showing up at my uncle's depot and then started a group chat with him and my dad, saying they needed to sit down and talk. I was with my dad when my uncle called him about it. My dad called everything a misunderstanding. I said I didn't classify stalking as a misunderstanding. That day he came to my other job, I decided I was moving back to my college town, 3 hours away. Home no longer felt like home. I didn't feel safe going anywhere. I still worry one day he's just going to show up in my new city. I transferred to the music store there. I had worked with these people my senior year of college, and they have looked out for me even after I moved. They all know the story, and I know they would all fight for me if it came down to it, so I feel safe, but I still panic when we walk to our cars after dark and have to check the parking lot to make sure he isn't there. It's been almost a year, and all I can say is I hope I never see him again.
While I was in the 7th grade, going from my school in the downtown area of my city to my house, the buses usually are composed of a certain constant demographic. The teenagers coming back from school, the working class adults and single mothers with their children trying to save a buck by using the bus. In addition to this demographic, there are the two types of disturbances: drug addicts or alcoholics that are loud and disruptive, usually begging for $1 in the middle-aged man, or her predator preying on middle schoolers or young women, both of which I have had my own encounters with. But today's story is not my own experience. I did have a front row seat this crazy encounter though. Now that we have the exposition, on to the story. I find a seat near the end of the bus by myself. Because of the way the buses work, there's one row on each side of the bus, with each seat has two sitting spaces. But there's also a twisty area in the middle of the bus. Two seats are directly across from each other in this area. On the opposite side of me is a working class man, some teenagers behind me, and in front of me are the main characters of the story: a dingy, unshaven man and three teenage girls. The man being directly in front of me and the girls in the twisty seats in front of the man. Being that there's only two per seat, one of the girls decided to sit on one of her friend's laps to stay close and not have to sit beside a stranger. Upon seeing this, the man begins to sort of creepily laugh to himself before obnoxiously adjusting the way he's sitting in a suggestive manner, rubbing his thighs and staring the girl down. As the ride begins and the girl notices him, he starts to pat his thighs, if to suggest she sit down there, then leading to verbalize these actions, saying things like, "Come here, girl. Come sit here instead. You belong right here." Everyone inside of this disgusting behavior catches on, and they're all watching him. The girl simply scouted the man and turns away, her friends throwing light insults at him. He attempts in vain. He turns to the working class man who's watching what's going on. He then says something along the lines of, "Why is she sitting there? She needs to be on my lap instead," further commenting on his high schooler's body and doing the buddy-buddy arm nudge with him as if the two were pals. Just a note, she is visibly a high schooler. Our district requires standard school attire, so she has khaki shorts and button-up short-sleeved shirt with a backpack, so there's no way that this man couldn't have known that she was underage. But I digress. Anyways, hearing these outrageous statements for the man, the working class man replies with something like, "Hey, don't you ever associate with me. Whatever you think this is a child you're talking about. I come from Detroit, and we put people like you in the dirt." The man, not at all deterred, scoffs and does his hand-flinging motion as if to blow him off. The working class man stops as coming up, and as he stands, he tells the girl that he apologizes for what she's going through and leaves. The girl tells him on his way out, "Thank you, but I'll be able to handle it. Just kind of wait." The gross man turns back there and says, "Handle what? Handle what? Me?" and laughs to himself. I was appalled at this gross statement, But even angrier than me were the adults and male thugs who started standing in the area where the situation was, witness to this atrocity. I remember hearing the gang members all start to get riled up behind me in defense of the girl. Now this guy starts to get a bit scared. He's now stopped talking upon seeing how many people are against him. The girl again goes on to assure the crowd that she's got everything under control, and things calm down a bit. This until he pulls the string to notify the driver that he wants to leave at the next stop. In a split second, everyone's eyes were back on him. The thugs begin standing up, lingering near the doors just in case he plans to run. The bus begins to arrive to the stop, and as the man stands up, so does the girl. He attempts to walk past her, but upon approaching her, she pushes him back not to get him off his feet, but they just get back him from the forming group of people. She does this because as he stumbles backward like Django, she swings her belt off her waist and yells, "He likes to prey on little girls. He likes flirting with little girls as a grown man," and starts beating the brakes off the sky with it. And yes, she was using the metal side. My ears filled with the clinking of metal on his body and head, the slapping of the leather on the skin, and the moans and cries of this fall. The grown man who is now on the ground in tears attempting to escape from this well-deserved beating. The bus ends up completely stomping the driver, running back to separate the two. The girl is still beating the man with all her might as the bus driver rushes over to pick her up and pull her away from the man. The man ends up crawling hands and knees off the bus, where he then laid on the concrete moaning and crying in pain. Everyone was escorted off the bus, and the police were soon called to get the man medical attention. And the police ended up detaining the girl, and I couldn't find any information about her charges. But I hope wherever she is, she's having a good day. As for the man, all I could say is just don't be a creep, and bad things won't happen to you. I admire that girl's bravery and the passengers that bonded together for the safety of the girl with the best demonstration of what a community should be that I've ever seen.